You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello, JRE Review listeners. I have to apologize first and foremost for anybody, the thousands of people that downloaded the last JRE Review 175 podcast, to where I did not sync up the two streams of audio. So everything Mark said was left off. And I'm so sorry that you had to listen to that nonsensical garbage. For whatever reason, I posted it, and I thought it was done, and I left it, and it wasn't until I was getting emails and messages saying, look, you dummy, you didn't fucking put the audio in. So, yeah. Well, then the audio somehow got deleted, so I've just spent fucking the last few hours trying to track that shit down and figure out how to splice it all together. But anyway, I got it done. And this is JRE Review 175 from the top. Once again, sorry about that, fellas. Enjoy.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Mark Hampton.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Hello, JRE Review listeners. Thank you for joining in. Today, got some good ones. Got some scientists. We got some DJs. Well, I guess we got another scientist.
Scientists and DJs.
Yeah. Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. One invented the iPod.
They both use technology.
They do.
Do what?
They do use technology. Well, as I was saying, I was like, one invented the iPod, and the other one is an iPod.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that there's not incredible skill involved in being a DJ, because there is. I've seen some of them do their shit live. I'm like, damn. Like, it's basically mixing as is. But then some DJs is like, they might as well just be like an iPhone or Spotify playlist, and they just hit play and they talk in between.
You know, you say that, but I'm suspicious. I really am. I mean, it's not like Milli Vanilli. What was that band?
Milli Vanilli. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not their fake band where it's gonna skip during their set, but. To believe that these guys on a rough night where they've like, you know, chomped through a few edibles, they're like, man, I could just put on a CD and just stand up here.
I mean,
would we know?
No, we'd have no clue. We'd have absolutely no clue.
And just for fun, even if they weren't fucked up, I still think it would be worth trying.
Oh, hell yeah. Well,
like, just for them, knowing how much they get paid, just to be like, I'm going to make $75,000 today, and I'm just going to press play.
God, man.
Pump my hand.
I would love to do that.
I mean, right?
That's it. I'm going to become a DJ.
One of the best jobs. Okay. <It's> changed.
Done.
Can you start at 40 years old?
Probably not. I think you need to be at least 18 to start.
Ugh.
With
negative attitude, Mark.
With way better negative hair attitude than me.
Mm.
And piercings.
I think you have to just start with that. You could be the old guy with the piercings.
Oh, there it is. Like Harrison Ford.
Mm. What?
Harrison Ford got like his ear pierced, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. And it was like this big thing. And then men kind of stopped piercing their ears because it was just no longer in fashion. But he still got his ear pierced. And now he just looks like an old man that's like out of time.
That's Indiana Jones.
Fucking Indiana Jones has like a stud.
Don't ruin this for me. I can't believe that's true. I'm not even going to Google it.
Don't. You're right. I was lying. That was entirely made up. Don't believe me.
All right, JRE review listeners. We got podcast 1344.
Boom.
Joseph Ledoux. The Dukes? I forget how to say his name, but I wrote it down. he has a new book with a deep history of ourselves. And, you know, it's always fascinating to have the type of scientists that go on Rogan's podcast, because it seems to be that the big focus for Joe is, like, understanding the mind. He's always been really into that.
Right.
And you kind of see a pattern with it, like, throughout his podcast, right? And I think it goes with his comedy and just, like, just his interests in general. Like, this is it. So this guy studies, like, fear and anxiety, like, how it's created.
Right.
We all get that. We all get fear. We all get anxious. You know, it's something that, you know, even people that say they don't suffer from anxiety, they're gonna deal with it. This is like a biological system,
right? Well,
and to hear it,
yeah.
Go on.
Well, anxiety is like the feeling of fear without the source of fear. It's kind of like, I mean, anxiety is basically, it's like your body thinks it's still in a precarious situation, so it's pumping that adrenaline like crazy through your body, even though you're just sitting on the couch thinking about what you're gonna make for breakfast. Type of thing, you know. That's kind
yeah.
Because
I and how Joseph put it was like fear is instant. It's like you see the threat, the lion is there, you have maximum red line adrenaline. But then, right. As human beings, because we understand ourselves in a very complex way, like beyond other creatures, therefore we can think into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And into the past.
Right.
So we can kind of almost mentally time travel, which is strange to think of, but it's almost curious because you're like, when you look at a cat, right? You're like, can they think about what they desire way into the future? Or are they like, what am I doing today?
Yeah, like, I don't think they can.
I think most creatures are like, I'm just thinking about what I'm doing today.
Just thinking about food.
Probably, right? But we can think how far ahead, like years, our retirement, the end of our life, beyond.
Absolutely.
God, we worry about beyond death. Like, we're way out thinking our time space.
Oh, completely.
And that is where he's saying the anxiety comes from.
Absolutely.
Because you just, I don't know, I think it's fun to think into the future about beautiful things.
That absolutely.
They're all going to be good.
What's a meditation right?
That's
tool.
What you want. That's what we want to, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We want to achieve that. But the main desire, or maybe evolutionary ability to do it, was to figure out threats. Who the
absolutely.
Fuck is coming?
I mean, the guilty pleasure of mine was the original CSI show. And I remember this one episode where Gil Grissom was talking about it and how we are on an evolutionary level, we are trained to be afraid. It is what has kept us as alive as a species, from small mammals that survived, you know, after the dinosaurs went extinct. We were small little mammals, easy prey. And we had to develop fear because that's what kept us alive. We were biologically adapted to fear, to have fear to keep us alive. So it's such a part of our DNA. It's what keeps us alive. Being afraid of getting hit by, you know, another car is what keeps you from making crazy lane changes. Some people do it anyway, and I get in an accident.
Because they think they're going to make it.
Of course.
They're risk takers. Yeah, and they probably have a lot of times.
Yeah, probably.
So they're willing to go and just slam it in.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, oftentimes when you see, like, a Honda Civic, right, and car aside, like, it could be any make, but, like, one of those guys just drives down the freeway, crosses three lanes of traffic like nothing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're just like, you know, probably blaring techno music. You're like, guaranteed, that dude's like 21.
Oh, easy.
Or maybe less.
Easy.
Right?
Yeah, because all teenagers think they're, or young adults think they're immortal. I was the exact same way.
They haven't quite figured it out.
They haven't.
Unless it's one of those super rich guys that just bought a Ferrari last week.
Could be.
And once it gets going, they just can't stop that shit.
Some Saudi prince. The euros don't apply to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, they all have diplomatic immunity anyway, so they can get the fuck out of here. Genius. I would take that too. Are you kidding me?
You bet your ass.
Not even close. I'd be smuggling things abroad I didn't even need to smuggle, see, just because I knew.
I wouldn't. I'd just, like, shoplift, like, Ben and Jerry's or something. I'd be like, ain't got nothing on me. I wouldn't do anything crazy. I'd just be like, I'd be like, oh, I forgot to get this pack of gum. I'm just taking it. That's all that would be. Diplomatic immunity.
You just get to the airport with random shopping items that you pilfered.
Yes.
And then when they want to check you, because the police are there with all these reports, you're like, you can't check
you
it.
Can't check
I have
me.
To go.
Yep.
Yeah. And then when you land back in your hometown, all your gifts to your family are just these random stolen
items. Yeah, they're just from like Brookstone and things like that. I don't even think I think Brookstone closed, right? Because everybody would go in to use the massage chairs, but no one would ever buy them.
Well, it didn't help. They were $9,000.
That is true. There was like SkyMall. Nobody ever bought any of that. I can't believe SkyMall ever survived like past a month because they were so expensive. And I was like, who wants this shit?
But it was fun.
It was fun. It was something to peruse while you were on the plane.
Actually, what was the best thing in SkyMall?
Man.
There was some things I saw that I was... They had that whole Lord of the Rings page, I remember.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah, that makes sense.
Not that I was into that, but I remember that being there. You could buy like a ring and a fucking sword and all kinds. And I'm like,
all
Jesus,
that shit.
All right.
And that, you know,
they
mean,
had a bookshelf that held like 1,000 CDs.
Right.
And I'm just like, what?
They were probably
who was even buying CDs?
They were probably the first thing to like sell end tables that had like USB ports in them. Like, charge your phone from your table, something like that. And you're like, oh my God, it's the future.
Well, the next question really is, how the fuck did they go out of business? Because they didn't have stores,
They
advertised to like a bunch of super bored businessmen and women that flew all year long that probably made a ton of money.
That's true. This is a damn
Shouldn't
fine
that
point.
Have been like, they didn't make an app. That's why.
It could very well be it.
Fucking... Yeah,
that should be. I mean, they could have had a deal with all the airlines. Is like nobody gets Wi-Fi, but you will get free access to SkyMall.com
and a 10% coupon.
Exactly,
for one item. 500% overpriced garbage.
Exactly.
They had a lot of inflatable shit. I remember that.
Right,
you get an inflatable pool, an inflatable head pillow. Inflatable butt massager. I don't know if that was a thing, but there was like a lot of stuff that you would blow up.
Right.
Weights. You could take weights to your hotel and like fill them with water or something. I'm like, who the fuck is doing that?
Exactly. No one. That's why they went out of business.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
I always felt, though, that there were a lot of super motivated people out there. And I would look at that and I would think, God, I need to get more motivated about my workouts.
Right. Well, what do you think? What do you think about fear? Do you ever experience anxiety? I experience it all the time, but I'm not so much
obviously
lately.
Fear pops up.
Right. Fear, of course. Do you experience anxiety or any PTSD or anything like that?
PTSD is a difficult one for me to like say I suffer from because,
of course,
I haven't done anything even close to what like military type people do.
Of course,
so you know my trauma is way stupider,
right?
You know, but I mean, I get anxious, I think.
Sure.
I definitely do about the future. I really don't too much about the past. I don't get too frustrated about things that happened beforehand. I have, for sure. When I was younger, I used to get real upset about things that had already happened, like things that I thought I was unlucky with or that had not gone right for me, that sort of thing.
Right.
But, yeah, far more now, and with that, I'm far more driven. Is, you know, I just focus on like, okay, what do I want to do? What things am I getting done? You know?
Right.
And I guess what things am I getting done is a bit of like a past reflection, but I do it within like the week. So I can adjust it really quickly. So it, yeah, for sure it gets in.
Right.
For sure it gets in. And then work does it. Work fucking makes me anxious all the time.
Super it can annoying. For me too. What it's Come weird on. If I'm teetering, and I don't really know what will kind of start me off, but if I'm teetering on the edge of feeling like I'm gonna have major anxiety, I don't want to say I wouldn't say I've really had panic attacks, but I definitely get to this point where I kind of feel a little. I don't, because I don't feel like I'm hyperventilating, but I do feel like the anxiety is debilitating in some ways. But what will really send me over the edge is if I'm waiting for like a website to load and it's taking too long, or I'm waiting to, like, if I'm having to wait for something that I expect instantly, that can send me over the edge. It's the weirdest fucking thing. I'll be like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then boom, it's all of a sudden I'm sweating and I'm just in a bad state and I just have to like go away for a while. It's the weirdest fucking thing.
That's definitely a catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Absolutely.
But that event on its own is not a problem. I think it's that.
Oh, absolutely.
We build ourselves up to it, you know?
Agree.
It's like we are good at bringing ourselves to almost the red line and being like, okay, I can tolerate this much. And
right.
just hanging there all day, assuming nothing else will piss us off. And then, like, the smallest thing will.
Exactly.
Like, you try to go to Netflix and it's just not loading. And you're like, I can't believe this.
Perfect example. Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's like everyone is close to that fucking yellow red line.
You know,
you almost look weird if you're like so zen. If you were just like zen all day, people are like, is that dude fucking high?
Isn't it weird to meet people like that? Like when people I meet, you know, because we're in Southern California,
I don't trust it.
We meet a lot of interesting folks, but you meet that one person who's like, you know, like, hey, how's it going? You know, just in daily life and work or whatever. You don't know this person from Adam. They're like, oh my God, I am so blessed. Everything is just so beautiful. Thank you so much for asking. I'm like, oh, you're about to go off. You are 2 seconds away from killing everyone in this room. Like, it's just so fucking fake. It's so fake. I'm like, you don't believe shit for Shinola of what you're saying. You were so above your own feelings, or you have brain damage. It's the whole idea of you're not pissed off, you're not paying attention. And I'm just like, boy, you just are out to lunch. You got no connection to the world right now. And maybe you're happy that way, but I don't trust it.
Well, I don't know. I think the people that actually think that way don't have to say it to you or anyone because they know that it would probably make you feel like shit.
Exactly. I feel like...
Or would you just go... Like, if someone was like, hey, how you doing? You're like, oh my God, I'm having the best time. I'm having the best life. It's literally the greatest experience ever. I can't believe how amazing it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to make anyone that you just spoke to be like, what?
Right.
Chill out, bro.
You need to calm like, the fuck
yeah,
down.
Yeah, okay. Are you all right? Fucking, are you on medication? Relax.
Exactly. Do you need to talk?
Yeah, but if they were like, no, I'm doing great. How are you? And then they focused on you and asked you a bunch of questions and were like, hey, man, if there's anything I can do, and like, it's really cool what you're creating. And after listening to you, they give you really solid feedback.
100%.
That would be a way better example of someone that's like, oh, that fucking dude might be, or gal, whatever, just might be in like a great position.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the other dude's on meth.
That's how the people, when I first got into Buddhism, that's how the people in my Buddhist group were. They were just a little too happy to be Buddhist. And I was like, can we... I'd be like, hey, how's it going? They were like, oh my God, this practice is changing my life. It's so amazing. But I'm like, yeah, but did you watch the Dodger game yesterday? Like, we can talk about other shit than how great your life is with this practice or whatever. It just was always weird to me. It came out, it felt like Sunday church, like everything else, like reaffirming their own beliefs. So I was like, I'm good. I'm good with how I feel. I'm good with what I believe. Let's talk about baseball or the weather or, like, what do you do for work? But anything but, like, oh, my God, everything's so amazing. I'm like, it's just, it brings hollow. I don't believe it. I don't buy into it. You're covering some shit up.
Well, I gotta say, man, I mean, I assume you did this in L.A. I mean, what the fuck are L.A. Buddhists? And no offense, L.A. Buddhists.
Oh, but no, yeah.
When I lived in Sri Lanka, they were Buddhists.
Sure.
Buddhists.
No, it's cool. There's so many different types. There's so many different types.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're all similar, but I mean, that's like far closer to the history of this mm-hmm. and they were probably generations in, and it was way more of a thing.
Right.
I can imagine that, you know, a lot of L.A. Buddhists are just rucking in there, mm-hmm. trying to be trendy.
Some of it definitely was. I mean, but you could put a Buddhist label on anything. I mean, the people that perpetrate all the violence in Burma or Myanmar, they're all Buddhists. But there's, you know, but they're massacring people. So it's kind of like we can call ourselves whatever we fucking want. It doesn't change, you know, it's more the action than the actual name. It's like, I mean, that's a whole part of it. It's like no attachment to anything, including your title or what you are. But that's a lesson, and they all had to learn too. And probably some of them did. But it's what drove me away from that particular group. It was just a little too LA trendy. It was a little too much gluten free spirituality and not actual like mindfulness and spirituality or whatever.
No, I'm with you, but yeah. But let me guess. I bet there was some really good things you took away from it.
Oh, 100 million percent.
Yeah. I did a men's group like that for a while, actually through Rogan podcast, like a guest that Rogan had.
Oh, no shit. That's cool.
Yeah, he has a men's group that he does, and I followed it for a while. I started like the Santa Monica group and did it for a year and did get a lot out of it. But then it, you know, it was almost the same thing. It became like... It seemed like it was becoming like LA trendy,
mm-hmm.
and less, it was just further away from like the real conversation that I thought that we were having. And
exactly, but
saying that, I don't leave frustrated or mad or anything.
No.
I have great feelings about the people there and all the things that I did. Like it had me thinking in different ways. It was pretty interesting.
That's fantastic.
It really was.
That's all you want. That's really all you can ask.
So along the same lines, right, since we bring up Buddhism,
yes.
So Joseph was, there was a point where they were talking about, would you use new technologies to live forever? So if there was like gene altering
mm-hmm.
and maybe bionic implants and if that was available, would you take it? And here's my next question, right? This is two-part question.
Yeah.
Second part, would you have a choice?
That is interesting. Yeah, I probably would take it. I mean, I could. I feel like the cool, magnanimous thing to say would be like, no, I'm just gonna live out the life I have, and I'll be good with that. But to be perfectly honest, I feel like it would. My only question would be like, can I change my mind later? Is like one pill I take, or do I take a pill a day? And if I stop taking it, will I eventually die? Because I may change my fucking mind. Not that I can't kill myself, but it's one of those things like, I don't know. I might not want to live the rest of my life without Katie and my brothers and you and my friends and all that stuff. If they're all gone and I'm still around, that might suck. I don't know. At this point, I'd just like the color in my hair back, to be perfectly honest. But, yeah,
so to answer the second part,
yeah,
I think that you said that you don't have a choice, right?
Well, I mean, I feel like we have a choice. I mean, why wouldn't we have a choice?
Well, it's just that. It's just what you said. Like, mm-hmm. I think the same thing, right? I think I would want to say, no, I'll just live a normal life, right? Because in a way, it's kind of trendy. It's like almost trendy to me.
Right.
But like when that last day comes, you won't want to make that choice.
It's true. I mean,
especially if there's a healthy living alternative. If they're like, no, 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 you'll be healthy.
Right.
You won't just like drag around in a wheelchair.
Yeah, you're not a vegetable.
You'll see your family tomorrow. And,
right.
You know, it's almost like, okay, that's the choice. You wouldn't have a choice.
I mean, I can easily say I don't want to die. I know that much, and I don't feel like that's going to really change in 50 years or however long it's going to be. I feel like I like being alive, you know. I enjoy all the creature comforts that comes with life, so I would probably say, yeah, I'd take it. I would take it. I'd take the pill. You know, but with the caveat that I reserve the right to change my mind. No, if I mean if you make
you don't get to. Oh. They just give you a hammer, and when the time changes, you're just like, fuck.
Will I battle other immortal beings with in sword fights and cut off their heads?
They put you up against each other and you just bash it out.
Will I be a Highlander? Is what I'm asking.
For TV. Because
if I am a Highlander, then the answer is emphatically yes.
Oh yeah, gotta do that.
Gotta.
I don't know what all that electricity was about, but I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Because they had, like, supernatural powers or something. I was like, the dude had a katana really liked, and a trench coat. That's all I care about.
I liked a lot of what Joseph was saying, and he was a very interesting guest. I think, as a podcast as a whole, it was pretty heady,
yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And if you're not necessarily, like, a biologist, you know...
And that happens. I mean,
to me, it was a 5 out of 10. I think.
Yeah,
I'd give it that.
I would give it that too. Sometimes, you know, we're not sycophants. Sometimes the guests just aren't interesting to me. That's like the MMA dudes. Zero. I'm not even going near that because it's just not. Yeah, I know you love that.
That's racist. We need to work on that.
I know.
But I respect it. Well, you know, I'm a biochemist, and I did like the way he spoke. It was clear. It was just too narrow of a subject,
mm-hmm.
and not to sound like an asshole, but it was just like the fear, anxiety response to things,
right?
And it was just pretty vague. I found myself like asking too many questions and wanting too many answers,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of where I was with that, but. You know, let us know if you get more out of that one. You know, give us a message.
Yeah, please. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you liked.
We'll see. Yeah. Next up, 1345, Steve Aoki.
Mm-hmm.
Right? DJ extraordinaire. Has residencies in Las Vegas. Got real popular out in L.A. And he's a big, you know, kind of electronic music guy. And he loves to cake people. Now, I'd never heard of what caking people was. I would have assumed that it was some sort of Pornhub category beforehand. But now I know he actually just throws cakes at people's faces that come to his shows.
Like Three Stooges. Three Stooges style.
Right. Yeah.
What a waste of cake. So
for anyone listening that knew this or goes to his shows... Please explain why that is great, because
yes.
That sounds ridiculous.
That's, yeah, who knows? He's a DJ, dude. I don't know.
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like a lot of fun. He was a super nice sounding person, very chilled. His ego, he could just put his ego aside and immediately went from... what he did with his music,
mm-hmm.
into what he likes about science,
right?
That he loves to interview people. He's very curious. He's like traveling around interviewing people and recording it, but not posting it. He's almost making like his own sort of Joe Rogan, but just using his celebrity to get in front of like fascinating people.
Right.
And longevity is a big part of his focus, which mm-hmm. is, again, on the same track, right? We just came from... talking about living forever, and Aoki recently lost his father, and since that's happened, he, you know, I guess he's worried about death. Who's the closest person you've lost to you in your family?
My grandparents, on my mom's side. I was really close with them. I lost an uncle. I wasn't close with them. But it was one of those. I mean, I've been very fortunate that I have not really lost anyone close to me. So, closest would be my grandparents. My parents are both living, all siblings, all cousins, aunts and uncles. They're pretty much all around. So aside from my pets, which, you know, those are losses, but I, you know, I'm usually okay after about a week or two. And I was. Yeah, so I don't carry it with me. It wouldn't be like losing my mom or my dad or my brothers for that matter.
Yeah. And I think what Steve's gone through after losing his dad, it really changed a lot of things for him. I think he's very close to him.
Yeah.
And that'd be rough. Like, watching it, being able to ask, like, you know, I don't remember when my... I mean, I remember my grandparents passing away, but I wasn't having, like, deep conversations with them both. And I could see it was really hard on my parents, which brings up the same point.
Like, of course.
I think when you lose your parents, it's much harder because you're much closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Grandparents were always old. Like, I was born and they were old.
That was a thing.
It's almost like I was always ready for them to die. And not to sound awful, but I'm like, well, they're old. I mean, I was super sad. I was like, I can't believe life ends. What the fuck is this bullshit?
I know.
I'm like 10. I'm like, this is bullshit. But they're like, well, people go. And I'm like, what? But, you know, they were... It wasn't like my younger brother.
Yeah, all my grandparents lived into their 90s, except for my grandfather on my father's side, who died of mesothelioma. So that was, you know, that was caused by asbestos. So he probably would have lived a long time. So... I think I'm already immortal, going back to our previous conversation. But, yeah, it was one of those things, like, right? when they passed away, it was natural causes for the most part. But it kind of seemed the right time. You know, it wasn't traumatic, it wasn't sudden or unexpected. It was just when I was like, okay, yeah, I mean... It was getting around that time, so it wasn't traumatic. Like, and again, like you said, it wasn't like my parents or anything.
Yeah, that's definitely the difference.
But I do know that that shit makes a profound impact. I mean, I don't have to have gone through it to know, because I've seen and talked to so many people that have lost people like that, and it does have a profound impact. It can be life-changing for some people. It really makes people reassess.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what Steve Aoki sounds like he's done. He's just, you know, he talked a lot about stem cell stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, he's had some real bad shoulder injuries, other things, but he trains,
you
know, like a motherfucker. So he's going to get injured, you know.
Yeah.
But he's figuring out stem cells, getting it done, going to the top people, and, you know, and Aoki is doing it too. That stuff sounds fascinating to me. I don't have really injuries that are... constantly nagging me.
Your
but
shoulder,
I still
right?
want to just, well, it's not that bad.
Okay, that's good.
Like, I know other people's, like, it's frustrating, but some people are, like, plagued by some of their injuries. Like, it stops them doing things. I just keep doing it, and it is painful. right? But stem cells, yeah. I'd take them. I'd get them in. Like, the things that we're hearing. Have you heard of this place, Lifespan Place in Santa Monica?
I have, actually. But tell everyone. Yeah,
somewhere they talked about, and I'd never heard of it. I didn't know we had somewhere right here.
I discovered it 2 weeks ago, because I was looking. Stem cell hair loss treatment is a new thing. And I've talked about it on the show beforehand, where they inject you with stem cells. There's two types. There's the one from... it's not from fetuses, it's from
babies' butts.
Yeah, it's not from babies' butts, although I don't care. Give me whatever, just let me grow hair.
It's fucked up.
I don't remember what the kind, but they inject it right into your scalp and it grows new follicles. It doesn't tell your old follicles to start growing hair again. It grows new follicles. That's one type. And then the second one is they formulate stem cells from your hemoglobin, and they inject that into your scalp as well. But that doesn't show as promising results as actual stem cells. But I've been looking at
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Is it super expensive?
One treatment looked between $3,500 and $4,000. So...
Oh, Jesus.
It's expensive.
Is that the same for, like, your shoulders? Or, like, muscles?
Not sure. I didn't look into that part. Probably, because the expense is the stem cells. I mean, they're just expensive. Because you can get whatever, you just put them whatever. I mean, they're like little genetic nanites that just go fix shit. You know what I mean?
But that to me sounds like witchcraft.
I know.
How the fuck do they even know what to fix? If you put them in an area where nothing even hurts, does it get even better?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Do you have to wait until something breaks? Like, maybe you just inject them, like, into your dick and it's twice as big.
Well, I mean, that is a worthy topic for research. Let me tell you. I don't want length, I want girth. Do you have stem cells that do that? Do you have the girth stem cells, please? I'm such a novice and you're more the scientist than I am. But it just
sounds too good to be true.
Well, because they only exist in fetuses for the most part, or in like things that have to do with reproduction and birth. Kind of sounds like they're kind of like the builders. They're the they're the labor force building your body, and then you know once the baby comes out, they're like, okay, we're done. No need to exist in this creature anymore. Because we've built the whole thing from the ground up, kind of thing. But now you put it in, and you're like, oh, here are things that need to be taken care of. But I'm also an idiot, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But it kind of it felt like you might be right, man. It kind of feels
there are legitimate scientists saying this shit is fucking great. My only concern is it sounds a little bit like Chinese medicine, where you're just like, I have an earache. They're like, eat garlic. My toenails have a fungus in. Eat garlic.
Right.
My nose hurts. Eat garlic. I'm like, well, hold on. Because none of the medicine we use in the West that we developed with the FDA in the last 50 years works like that.
Right.
And even if some of that is horrendous for us, it's not like one thing sorts everything out.
Right. Well, I guess
it's an antibiotic.
Well, there's definitely... I mean, I've taken herbal compounds for... you know, conditions, STDs. You know, sickness, STDs, yeah, and they work. I mean, they work as much as any prescription I've gotten. So there's definitely something to them, but I'm fairly certain all these stem cell procedures are FDA approved. They've gone through the clinical trials. I mean, I think they're out there. I mean, it's not like supplements that you buy, you know, at 1:30 in the morning when you're watching Comedy Central. You know what I mean? This is tried and true research they've been doing for over 20 years now. So, I mean...
Well, a lot of it's not legal in the U.S., though.
No shit. It is in California.
Yeah, for whatever... They have some in... Yeah, some here, I think, in Vegas.
Right.
It's been a real struggle.
Well, I'm sure...
Getting that stuff legal, which seems crazy to me. I'm like, why would you want to stifle... anything
because of
that
they came from aborted fetuses. A lot of, when it first started the trials, they were all from aborted fetuses because that's where you could get
there was
stem
no
cells.
Other place to get it from
when they first began. Yeah, now they pull it from they can pull it from placenta or something like that, or is it the umbilical cord?
I don't know, we're too stupid to even speculate.
I read about it and I forgot. But I think it's from the umbilical cord or the placenta, something like that.
I heard they're getting it. They don't even need to get it from like a baby.
They might not. I know the clinic we're talking about in Santa Monica was very specific that they did not pull them from fetuses.
I don't know. I wish they had not worried too much about that when they first discovered them and had an extra 10 years of...
I know.
Sorted research and
maybe have a cure for Alzheimer's or ALS or any of those fucking horrible disease, Parkinson's. I mean, because they're thinking that stem cells could be the key to curing those things eventually.
Huh. Well, yeah. I mean, Steve Aoki has interviewed some fascinating people about this, and Joe knows a lot of these guys too, and he's all about it. He is into it. I guess he's going to go to visit the UFC doctors that know a lot about this
That's
well.
Cool.
And I don't know what sort of injuries he's had. He didn't really get into it. But I'm almost starting to think that these guys and gals that have money are not even going and getting this for injuries. Mm. They're just so sure that it's like the shit. They leave
probably.
Feeling great. You can have a stem cell blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And that sounds crazy.
Rich people are going to do all kinds of whack-ass shit. They're going to skip all kinds of steps. Yeah. Going back to Joe, I want to say it was his knee. I felt like it was his knee.
He's repaired his knees, but he got cadaver ligaments put in, which are actually stronger because they take him, I think, out of the ankle and then put him in the knee. Like it's like an Achilles to an ACL.
Oh,
and then your ACL is stronger. But that even is... kind of research, I mean, science that we're moving away from. Because right. now we have all this stem cell stuff.
Sure.
It's overtaken it. But that's kind of cool, though, right? For a period of time.
Imagine being able to repair ligaments. Like, no pitcher would have to have Tommy John surgery anymore. They get a stem cell injection in their elbow, and 6 months later, they can pitch again. That's crazy.
Yeah, but if you do it that way, right, and it's just as strong, that's nice. No surgery. But if you do it that way and it's stronger, therefore using cadaver ligaments, then that's even better because it's twice the strength.
Yeah, true.
Think about it.
I mean, that
or
happens.
Like whatever it is. I think it's just much stronger than...
Well, that happens in a
regular ligament on your leg.
In baseball, because when they have ulnar collateral ligament replacement surgery, I think they pull one from the leg or something, and it usually you come back stronger, and they usually get a couple of miles per hour on their fastball. They usually, you know, they'll come back with increased velocity by, you know, 2 or 3 miles per hour.
Well, how long is it going to be before they purposely blow out their elbow?
Sometimes there's been talk... And I don't know if it's been taken seriously, but there's definitely been discussions about people simply getting Tommy John surgery, because that's the first guy that ever got it, getting ulnar collateral replacement surgery before they even blow out their elbow. Because they're like, you're going to eventually. Let's just do it now. It'll come. You'll be stronger, and you'll have it out of the way. That's kind of nuts. But who wants to? But at the same time, you don't want to go under the knife when you don't have to. I mean, because that's still very invasive surgery. That's not like... arthroscopic anymore. They're digging in there. They're moving.
Well, true, but true, but I mean, how long until it's actually not that big of a deal? It's just like some sort of laser. You barely even know. You do it at CVS. It's like sticking your arm in the blood pressure machine that they have there, while you're waiting for your girlfriend to go buy whatever the fuck she's buying, and you can't be bothered to sit there. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, I'll push this, and then it's like beep 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 beep. There we go.
Right.
Just change the ligaments in your shoulder, and they're like, oh, they're 400% stronger.
Yeah, or they're make like, sure please select your stem cells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How strong do you want to be?
Exactly.
Do you want to have fire that shoots out of your hands? Yes, I would, actually. Yes, yeah,
that would be amazing. Like that. Would you like to be immortal? Do I have a choice? No.
Imagine all the immortal people picking on the guy that was like, I don't want to do it. You're like, idiot.
Oh, what a pussy.
Everyone's like making fun of him. You're going to hell. There's only hell, bro. It's like, what?
It's like, oh, terrible. My God, I just want to go. Yeah, I know.
One of the cool things that Steve was talking about is he has an original, like, so he talked about his like mega home that he built, which was awesome. He's got a lot of money. He has a foam pit. He can jump in his pool from his bedroom like he's a kid. You know, he's a DJ. Course. Like, I love that, though. But I love it. Right. I think it's great. Like, we've all fantasized about it.
I'd be the
and
exact
for
same
anyone
way.
To be like, oh, that's immature, that's bullshit.
Hell no.
You shut your mouth. You just never had that fucking opportunity. It would be great.
Absolutely.
Everyone would like that.
We all want our childhoods back anyway because you know, youth is wasted on the young. So what are we doing? We're just living our lives for those fleeting moments that we can feel like a kid again. You know what I mean? That's what I'm doing. I mean,
we
that's
can
what
hope
I,
to.
I mean, my girlfriend laughs at me because when I get stoned on Sativa, I become a kid. I'm just like I'm like an 8-year-old kid. That's just I laugh at fart jokes and dick jokes. I mean, I do that anyway, but I just act like a child, and I feel like I guess I kind of feel like I am a child at heart. And I would
I would challenge you to laugh at those things all the time.
Oh yeah, for real. Sober. I mean, I do, but I act more like a kid when it happens.
Well, he went and bought an original piece of Banksy art.
Right.
Now you've heard of Banksy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they talk about Banksy. And now Banksy is from Bristol. Bristol is from where, you know, that's where I'm from. And we've known about him almost my whole life, as far as I can remember.
Sure.
I mean, I'm 37. I don't know how old Banksy is. He must be in his 50s.
We don't know who he is yet, right?
What? No one knows what he looks like.
Right.
As far as I know.
There's a theory I read that he's like one of the members of the Gorillaz, which is like a music group. I was reading about that. Look that up. I can't speak about it intelligently. Yeah. Look it up. It's pretty
interesting. Dude, I feel like it's bullshit in today's age that we don't know who Banksy is. But I love that we don't.
It's super cool. You know? I love that we don't.
I love that we don't. He's so badass. I've seen multiple pieces of his work, even into London in like very expensive places to live.
Right.
And he just drew on a wall and then they like kind of plexiglassed it in because now it's worth so much that right. It like made the house like twice as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, unbelievable. But what I loved about it is they talked about the shredding of the artwork that he created. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
So some art, and I'd never heard of it either, but some art was sold like Sotheby's, one of the big auction places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just like an original Banksy in a big thick frame. And as soon as it was sold and the deal went through, it turned into a shredder.
No shit.
And it just shredded the picture.
Holy shit.
I think only down to like halfway.
Oh, wow.
What an incredible idea that is.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's the most anti-snobby thing I've ever heard.
And that was entirely right? By design? That was like the...
I guess so. I'd never heard of it either.
Wow.
It just seemed to me like, what a fucking brilliant thing to do. And that's why, that's his style, though. I've always loved it.
That's
amazing. Always absolutely loved that dude, yeah. Yeah. What did you think of Aoki not doing any drugs and not drinking ever since he had his, like, freak out acid attack after he was, what was it, 13?
Right.
Like, I just can't imagine being, like, a straight edge.
Dude,
but also, like, the biggest DJ in the world.
I get it. After, like, people that, like, have freakouts and, like, that type of trauma, that I understand more, like, than if he just made a decision. Like, I'm just never going to do any of this. I'm going to be a teetotaler and never do this, even though I'm one of the biggest DJs in the world. That's more suspect. But being freaked out like that, I totally get it. I totally get it. It's kind of wild, and I applaud the shit out of him for being able to hit with his stick-to-itiveness that he was able to do that with all the sources of illicit material that he could possibly encounter. And he's unfettered freedom because he's rich as fuck. So that's even more impressive to me. I'm like, I get it. I get it. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that it's like almost less suspicious because
mm-hmm.
he had this very traumatic event.
Exactly.
And I'm less likely to be like, what a dummy. Like, try some shit. Like, expand your mind.
Yeah.
You know? I think there's something to be said about don't fucking do acid when you're 13.
I think that's as a general rule, I think that's a pretty good one. Maybe there's don't do any drugs when you're 13. Maybe wait until you're older when your brain has more of a handle on things.
Yeah.
But I get it, man.
I mean, the drug you have when you're 13 is sugar.
Exactly.
Keep eating sugar. That's all you're allowed.
Eat your Twinkies.
Eat some sugar. If you're super bored, have one of your friends spin you around real fast or get dizzy. But until that, then figure out, like, girls are cool and eventually, I don't know, have some drinks.
Man, but it's the human condition to be curious, especially at that age, the adolescence. I mean, you were curious about everything. So if somebody hands you drugs, I mean, we have no ability to, we have no filter on that. I'm only now getting to the age where I can go, yeah, I don't need to know that. Like when I had an MRI like 2 weeks ago, I never opened my eyes because it was like, I don't know if I'm claustrophobic. I've never really been in a situation where I might freak out. But I'm going to remove even the temptation. I'm not going to open my eyes. I just won't even know. So I had no idea. I just imagined beaches and the woods and like how much I wish I was still asleep and how the MRI sounded like Fatboy Slim from the 90s. But I never opened my eyes, so I never freaked out. So I removed that curiosity. But when you're kids, you're curious about everything. I don't know if I would have done acid when I was 13, but I definitely wanted to learn about shit. What about you?
Well, I think a lot of it just comes down to who's around you. I don't think you have a lot of choice. Like, nobody offered it to me. I didn't feel pressured. You know, in the weirdest way, I was kind of spoiled for, like, when I got the drugs that I did. They seemed to come at times that were, like, I don't know if age appropriate is right there, but they didn't come too early. And I never got exposed to, like, the really dangerous ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody ever was like, here's crack. Try some heroin. Like, it just, I'm like, oh, what? Like, there was always just a dialogue of the people that are around that were like, oh, don't do that.
Right.
But they were super pro, like, weed or, mm-hmm. obviously, everyone's pro alcohol. And then,
pretty much.
You know, pills would come in the 90s. Like, we'd go into, like, raves and things.
Right.
That would pop up. But, it you know, even amongst all of the groups that, there was almost no one that I knew that was like, dude, I do 10 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? That's not good for you.
It's terrible for you.
Like, people were taking, like, supplementing with, like, vitamin B12s to, like, produce higher levels of serotonin to offset the... I'm like, what are we, scientists? Holy you guys shit. Have done research on this?
Yes, they what? Are.
Like, professional ravers. I was like, all right, cool.
That's nuts.
I'll do that, I guess. I'll take that. But, yeah, I never really got exposed to drugs in the sense of people destroying their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw it that way.
Yeah.
And I know it's very doable, obviously.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
very possible.
Hell yeah.
But
runs in my family.
I didn't see it. I saw some lazy stoners.
Yeah, I've seen plenty
definitely
of those.
Definitely saw some lazy
I've
stoners.
Plenty, I see plenty of those at work.
But then when you think of his job, too,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's so close to the possibility of doing that, you know.
Right.
It seems also like... DJs is it like DJs or rappers? I mean, they're you know, they disappear. They're dying.
Yeah.
They take some pills, they're gone.
Yeah.
That party life is like it's easy to get addicted to shit.
Yep. It's prevalent, that's for sure.
So to be sober through it, but still make it work and enjoy it, that's not a bad option.
No, it's not.
You know. I have to respect him a little bit for that.
I do.
Even though I'm like, maybe microdose.
I know. It's antithetical to how you live.
Yeah, Joe was trying to pressure him. Not pressure him, but like talk to him about that.
Right.
But it was good. I liked the conversation. I don't know a lot about that dude. But I feel like in the future, he's going to become a lot more than a DJ. Because
could
be. His story was really fascinating. How he got to where he is and like his love for just... discovering existence
mm-hmm.
is really cool. So I was pretty excited about it. And from knowing nothing and not thinking I'd be into it,
for real.
That to me was definitely 7.5 out of 10 of a podcast.
Oh, nice.
It really was. And I would say if you're a fan of Steve...
probably be a 10,
and you know he is already, yeah, that's going to only go up from that.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah, I give it a 7.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give it a 7. I'm not fascinated by a DJ lifestyle or DJs or anything. But you're right, the story was... and that's one thing, cool thing about Joe is that he gets past the surface level bullshit and gets to some of the nitty gritty, which I really enjoy.
He kind of steered away from the music almost
right.
and like got into what he was into like real fast. Well, and I don't know if that's because Joe was not that interested.
Probably.
I don't know. But he, it's the same as me.
It's like you say, he's fascinated by how people think. He wants to know about that. He didn't give a shit about him spinning records. Who gives a fuck?
Like, yeah, they're just pressing play, bro. We talked
just
about that.
Just pressing play, yo. That's right.
All right, so the big one. 1347, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil.
Holy shit. What a pleasure to have him back. He is obviously one of the original really big kind of like... non-comedian celebrities that went on Rogan.
Exactly.
He's went on Rogan back in the day, a legend of a guy. I mean, what can you say? The most famous astrophysics dude ever, other than maybe Carl Sagan?
I would say so, yeah. I would say those two. Those are the two big ones.
He has a new book. Now.
Yeah, it's out in a month, right?
Yeah, it's called Letters from... It's basically about letters from fans. I can't remember
right.
what the name is.
I've
read every one of his books. Like, I'm that much of a nerd. I do find them fascinating. And they really are interesting. Like, he simply kind of lays stuff out and it just... You know, it's a fun read.
No,
it's
I
a fun
it.
Read for
Do you have Astrophysics for Dummies?
Yeah, yeah, it's cool. I meant to lend that.
Yeah,
to
I need
you,
to borrow
right?
it from you. Gonna... I want to.
All right, I'll bring. I'll text it. It's you. Good. It's fun. You're like, holy shit, that's crazy.
I know. Yeah, no, I love how he explains things. I love how he explains science, and he's so passionate about it. Comes across in everything he talks about. I don't think he's ever had a conversation with anyone where he wasn't passionate about the subject material. It's really interesting. He's so knowledgeable, and he speaks. And he doesn't talk down to anyone, but he speaks in such simple ways that the layman can understand, which is what I appreciate about him, for sure.
Yeah, and shows massive fascination. Like, he's a physicist.
Tons, yeah.
And he was talking about, like, how water freezes.
Yep.
And when it does, it expands. But he, like, that's very simple to a physicist or a chemist. But he wasn't saying it in a way like, duh. How do you not know this, duh? He's just, like, really excited about the fact that it does.
Exactly.
Like, this is why you can put him in front of children, or you can put him in front of a TED Talk of other academics, and he's able to do the same message and get it across. Like, if he was talking about boiling rice, with that enthusiasm, he would make it brilliant.
He'd be like, we have a man, Uncle Ben, who has created... rice, and what you do with rice is you put it in water and you boil it. Okay, well, how? I just love it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Just talk about the expansion, the science, the boiling water. It would be amazing. And before you know it, you'd forget that you're even talking about rice. Exactly. And you're like, I want some rice right now.
You do the same thing about changing a tire. You get into the physics of how rubber holds that air together and the force that is required to puncture the rubber at a certain rate. You'd be like, damn it, this is fascinating.
It was interesting to me when he was talking about cherry picking of science.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of forget that that happens, but obviously with politics it does. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everyone's using an iPhone in the room, so nobody cherry picked that.
Right.
Because it's very useful. But people would cherry pick maybe, I don't know, the age of the earth.
Well, maybe.
Evolution.
Yeah, his global examples warming. Were global warming, vaccines, and GMOs. I think that's really apt. I think that's a really astute observation. I've always kind of been wondered why GMOs were so hated as they were. I guess it comes down to, do people think it's just going to modify them? Like, because it's genetically modified corn, that one day they'll eat it and they'll just start growing corn for limbs and shit? That's always what it's like. What are you so afraid of?
Yeah, I never really understood that. I wish I knew more about it.
I just don't. But I know any scientist I know, and I have one who's a professor at Pepperdine, a good friend, married her to her husband, performed the ceremony, and she will go off about how GMOs aren't harmful and stuff. And I can only listen to the people that are actually experts about it. And they seem pretty
convinced.
Well,
that's generally a good move, right?
Absolutely. And GMOs are different from hormones. That's different from having... you know, chicken that's filled with hormones because they want to make the chicken fat. That's a different thing than GMOs, which is, you know, that's genetically modifying things like corn to keep insects off of it so you don't have to use these lethal pesticides which damage our soil, things like that.
I think a lot of what comes down to it is, like, we don't know what it will do.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to be really fucking a lot of people up.
I've seen no empirical
data.
It's
like, well, does it make it okay? Is it bad? But you got to prioritize your concerns.
Right.
You know, really. I'm like, all right. But, you know, or we could eat non-genetically modified Twinkies.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean,
that seems like a bad idea.
I don't think there's anything natural in a Twinkie.
Well, true.
I think it's all genetically modified.
Mm.
But no.
They say you can't even eat corn today that's not genetically modified.
I don't think so.
Like, none.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing is, like, okay, but if we're all living longer than we ever did, then isn't that a weird thing to say? Like, let's say that we've identified all these things that kill us.
Right.
Well, when we die anyway, right, which we all do, sorry to say it, folks, we all do. Then the stuff we must be consuming, at some point, some of it must be killing us faster than others. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've identified it all. but we're living three times as long as we did in 2000.
Right.
I mean, not 2000, in
2000
the year
ago.
Zero.
Right.
So now in the year 2019, we can live to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we, to those people, be like, oh yeah, I'll take some genetically modified corn.
Fuck yeah.
I'll just eat whatever you guys are eating, and I'll live three times as long. And we'd be like, no, 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 you can't have this corn, because it will kill you.
Right.
And then like, but you guys are living forever. And then we're like, no, 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 it's probably our medicine.
Right.
But I don't know, not everyone goes to the doctor.
Mm. No, we're living longer. Like, I don't, I'm also not, I have zero expertise in this area at all, but you make a very astute point. Like, I have no idea what it does to our bodies, but I definitely know that there are people that are afraid it does some shit to their bodies, and it doesn't. That I know for sure. It's kind of the same thing with vaccines. People just hear you're putting a weak version of a virus in so you can build your immune system, and they immediately think, no, I'm injecting myself with this disease. And a lot of times, it's actually a dead virus, or you're just injecting the actual proteins that trigger an immune response to that actual disease, so you've built it up. So they're not actually giving you the disease in any way, live or dead. They're giving you proteins that match it that will trigger your immune system to build antibodies for it. But people don't actually listen to that stuff. They don't study the science behind it. Or they hear that, you know, there's some mercury in it or whatever. And I say, yeah, there's mercury in your fucking drinking water. Like, if you've ever opened your mouth in the shower and water's gotten in there, you got a little mercury in there and chlorine and everything else. Like, there's trace amounts of shit in everything. Same with vaccines. But most people don't know how they work, so they're just afraid of what their brain thinks is going to happen.
Yeah, the vaccine one is real weird. Joe had a guy on, how long ago? About 6 months ago. I forget his name. But he was a specialist in, like, studying this.
Right.
And he said the big thing was that they could see the precursors to things like autism happening in the genes before any vaccines were given to the child.
Sure.
And that is something that didn't, he even said, look, it didn't immediately hit the news. It wasn't like the top story on every station. Mm-hmm. It was just like, there's a lot of power behind the anti-vaxxer thing.
Tons.
I kind of get it too. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't have a kid. But if I had one, and then it seemed fine, and then my doctor was like, give him this thing. Right. I mean, I think you're so protected.
Of course.
Protective over this thing that you love.
Mm-hmm.
That fuck everyone else.
Absolutely.
Like, it's... I sit here with my opinions now. What am I looking after? I have like two plants in my apartment.
Right.
But when it's a little thing, I can see. And then you connect because of the internet. You have the ability to connect with other people that have had this.
And they don't want to take the chance.
Well, you build up a force and you don't want to blame yourself.
Of course.
Because that sucks. You don't want to be like, oh, it's my fault. He's autistic or whatever.
Right.
And you know, so it just like... I think we just drive our thinking that way. But
we
the
do.
More important thing is like figuring out what direction it's coming from. And when the somewhat leading researchers are saying it doesn't seem to be this and otherwise everyone dies of fucking polio.
Right.
It might, you know.
Smallpox or measles or mumps or whooping cough or whatever that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a weird one. What did you think about what he said when LA is not all solar?
That was fascinating to me.
I did not thought of it. Like, what the, what, why?
What did he say? I can't. Why did he say it wasn't? I forgot.
Well, just that it's expensive.
It's expensive,
right? You know, difficult to kind of like set everything up. The batteries aren't great.
The batteries, yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Well, battery technology is still in its infancy in terms of that shit. Like, you just, we're not there. And lithium is degrades.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, bro.
What?
I think if everyone was like, I'm putting this shit on my roof, Elon Musk is going to come up with a goddamn battery. Someone is.
Oh, absolutely.
If there's money to be made, that is a hole in a market that needs to be filled.
Oh, that I agree.
Someone would figure that out.
Well, no, they got Tesla batteries. They do. They're like $7,500. You can absorb them into your home equity loan, or your homeowner or your mortgage or whatever. They're like 70.
How much power do you need overnight? That's what they say. They can't store things overnight. What power are you using? Open your window.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, well, you can go
have
off
a fan that is a battery, or big deal, use actual regular electricity in your house. Then
sure.
But only for the tiny amount that you need. Like, you're not doing your laundry
at night,
2 a.m.
Right. Well, I mean,
you shouldn't be.
The problem is,
unless you've killed somebody.
The more problem is that when you're getting solar power, you can only take in so much. The rest goes back, and whatever you're not using goes back into the grid. But there's no sun at night, so you can't power anything. But if you have the battery, you take that excess storage, it goes into the battery, and then it powers things overnight. That's what it does. That's what the battery is supposed to do. That's what the Tesla battery does. And Elon Musk has developed, Tesla has developed solar tiles. So it's not even, because one of the drawbacks that, and you hate to say it, but it's the truth, people didn't want these big old damn panels on their roofs. They thought it made their house look ugly. Now there's solar tiles. There's like four types of them. They last longer than regular tiles. Like, they have like a warranty of up to 30 years. And then the end result, you will have saved more money than regular roofing. But they're solar tiles mixed in with regular tiles that act like solar panels. They'll power a battery the same way, and you never would know that you have solar panels on your roof. That's a wave of the future.
I guarantee that roofing companies are super fucking pissed about this.
Well, you better believe it, but they're going to be pissed when the world blows up and we can't inhabit the goddamn planet. They won't have business then either. So pick
they're only
your
thinking about
poison.
Their next,
of course,
pool that they're putting in, or their next vacation.
Hey man, roofing companies, learn how to install fucking solar tiles, and you'll have a completely new job. And the more they manufacture them, the cheaper they're going to get. It would be ridiculous not to. You'd be an insane person if you could power your entire house off the sun. Especially in Southern California.
Way, yeah.
And it's going to start happening.
Well, you know what's weird, though?
Yeah.
My apartment, I have rent control.
Yeah.
I only pay gas. I don't pay electricity.
Sure.
So this sounds super lazy, but I would not need to do it under my circumstances.
Of course.
And there must be other people that are in this situation. I know plenty of people have their own electricity bills, but it's like my water and electricity are like rolled into one.
Right.
So I'm like, okay.
But
I don't know.
You're also a renter.
I don't know,
you don't really have the option. Like, your landlord would have to, the building owner would have to do that. You don't really have
exactly.
The
a lot of people, but a lot of people are renting, though.
That's
you
true.
Know, you're renting.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Not getting solar.
Well, here's an option for those of you who are environmentally conscious, want to go green. You do pay your own electricity in an apartment. You can go to LADWP, if that's who you have your utilities through, and you can switch yours to wind power, which I did. You can say, and it's only a couple extra bucks a month. It's really negligible. It's probably like $5 a month, but you switch to wind power. If you're environmentally conscious and that weighs on you, like it did me, switch over and, you feel a little bit better about, what we're putting out into the earth. You're not burning, you're not using power burned from coal.
Wait, they like pump in different, isn't it all coming in the same
yeah,
lines?
I don't, no, there are different sources and,
no shit.
Yeah. Because we do have
wind. Oh, dude, we're going to put that link in the
bio.
I'll find it. For sure.
I'll find it. And there's other sources, too. Yeah, man. So, yeah, another thing I loved, and this is this was near and dear to my heart, and I'm listening to him talking, because he was talking about how that all the molecules in the air you breathe, there are more molecules in, like, the one breath you take than there are breaths in the world, or something like that. Something, it was like, it's one of those astronomical things. Like when Carl Sagan used to say, there's more grain, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand.
Billions.
Yeah. And then he was like, and he goes, so when you're breathing the air that Socrates breathed, and the air that Genghis Khan, and the air that, and I was like, he's just naming motherfuckers from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And then Rogan was like, in place, I was like, no. And Rogan was like, no. He goes, no, you ruined my Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure reference. I was like, oh, nailed it. I was sitting here.
I loved that Joe didn't pick up on that. It was cracking me up.
That killed me. That was my favorite fucking moment.
But seriously though, it's not even that I remembered. It's that recently, because they're making the new Bill and Ted, I've been watching different clip videos, and that was one that I'd seen recently. I wonder if that was one Neil deGrasse saw recently.
It probably is. I love that.
Like, that's obscure to remember. Yeah, brilliant, though. That's so weird to think. Like, that's one breath of air, everyone breathes.
Yeah, that's nuts. Same like, with water.
All right. But it also is, like, everyone's fart.
Exactly.
As well.
Everyone's urine. Hey, man, we're all connected. It's cool.
Everyone's urine I can deal with, because I know that, like, it's clean. Right. But everyone's fart, like, it's their fart. I'm not into that. I'm just like, ah. I'm surprised you can breathe at all.
Exactly.
Neil was getting a little defensive, right? Now, and Joe called him out on it twice, which was cool, because they know each other. They're friends. They're not really debating, and Neil doesn't like to either. And he stated publicly that he doesn't debate anymore. He just says his piece.
I appreciate that.
Leaves. And that's cool.
He brought that up with building the telescope on top of the mountain in Hawaii. And he was like, I would just come in and lay out my argument and let the cards fall where they may. And I was like, oh, that's pretty Zen philosophy. I like it.
Well, he's talked about it before, and I think that you get to a point where you just realize you're getting nowhere. But also, this was a glimmer into why, because he gets so passionate about it that he can't just sit back. And you know, Joe was like, all right, you're getting a bit into it. And I love that they were able to kind of like pick on each other a little bit. Like, it really plays into their friendship. And when Neil deGrasse talked about fishes instead of
that
fish,
was fascinating.
And then Joe called him out on that. Then Neil like explained that it's a multiple pluralism. And then they got, I mean, that's a bit of a nerdy conversation, but it's cool that they can give each other shit about it.
Well, Joe's just like, isn't it a fish? Isn't that just
Well, within his frustration, though, he talked about, like, Neil was like, well, you know, I get heated. I love this. Like, I'm passionate about it. My agenda is to build that telescope on top of that mountain. That's what I want. I'm a physicist. I think that's good for humanity. Like, I'm going to push in that direction a little bit. I don't want to upset anybody and, like, you know, destroy people's sacred land. But this should be built somewhere, and I want it built. So I have an agenda. And he asked Joe, what's your agenda? Because you have this podcast that's massive, reaches everyone. What is the agenda? And I found it so fascinating for him to be like, I can't have one. Doesn't matter. You know, if anything, it's like for people to keep listening.
Yeah.
Right?
Expand your
mind.
Don't
know. I would be curious to know if his numbers like halved, would he change it or would he stop? Like, they constantly improve. So maybe that's the motivation. Right. But to say that is kind of weird, because he was very famous when he started, and he had almost none for a very long time.
I feel like
this seems to just be something he likes to do. He's like,
that's a good agenda, but I think he likes learning things and discovering things and talking about things. And he's like, we have pretty interesting conversations. Why not open this up to everybody else? And he also uses that he helps people out too. You know, he takes his friends, the people he meets, he brings them along. He elevates them. So he may not feel like he has an agenda. I feel like everybody has an agenda when they wake up in the morning. You want to do something.
100%. 100%. But it's not cheesy.
I
don't think that. I
really do. I think he's very. I think he's there about helping people and building things. And I mean that sincerely. It's not. I'm not fanboying out. I truly mean that sincerely. I think he just likes these discussions and thinks it might help other people as it helps him.
I'm with you. The $100,000 an episode or whatever he gets paid probably doesn't hurt.
But at a certain point,
he's doing it in a good way.
At a certain point, how much do you need?
For that, I mean, agenda-wise, I think people are watching closely, and there's enough people listening to where they would you know, see if there was any weird agenda, but it just... Just likes having a chat. He doesn't he doesn't mind picking on these guys, and that was great. It was fun to see. It was fun to know, because Neil deGrasse Tyson is such a fucking super smart
guy. Yeah, he's cool
shit. And for him to come in and like, you know, be able to have a good conversation with Rogan, and there were points where Rogan didn't know about ice expanding and other things, but he didn't study this.
Not.
Like, why would he know this?
Yeah, you know? I think that's the beauty of
it. It's like, I did a biochemistry degree. I'm not going to sit there and be like, what a dummy. Like, I had to do this. There's a million things that he could talk about. But he sits there, he learns, well, he's like, okay,
that's one of the things. And that's what I like about him. It's one of the things that he sits back and he doesn't think he has a handle on everything. How many times do you meet somebody that thinks they know fucking everything about everything? Drives me crazy.
Oh, God, us?
You and me. Yep.
The worst.
No, I freely admit when I don't know shit. I like talking
try
about
to.
It.
God, so much. But yeah, it's brilliant. It's really good. And Neil has that too, though. He has, like, he's obviously super smart. You Absolutely. Know he is. He knows it, and he's in a position of, like, extreme authority with knowledge. And he's very humble. And he's just, God, is he always good. He's, like, such a charming dude when it comes to conversation. And I have to rate, dude, this one's in the nines. This is 9.2. 5, 7, 3, 6.
The only reason I don't give it a 10 because Neil would talk over Joe sometimes and it would drive. And I was like, no, I want to hear what Joe's going to ask. I think he has something interesting to bring up. And Neil would just kind of bulldoze over him. And Joe let him, good host. I mean, he lets his guests talk. And I appreciate that. But I was like, but I feel like Joe's such an excellent interviewer. I was like, I want to hear the question because I think your answer will be really interesting. And I don't want him to lose that train of thought. So I give it a 9.5. It would have been a 10 if he'd just shut up for a minute.
But not to take anything away from Neil, I think as soon as you get in Rogan's lair, he gives you that nitro turbo coffee and just gets you all ramped up.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, here's your liquid meth.
Exactly.
Let's go to town. Let's go to town. Well, anyway, folks, thanks a lot for listening. Longer one today. And Mark, for joining in and giving me some of your input on that. I think it was a good week of interesting things to learn. I mean, it was a heady week.
I like heady.
Right? It was. It wasn't a relaxing, funny, chilled week of podcasts. But you know what? If you're like science minded and anti-aging and life expansion minded, there's a lot of fun stuff in this week. I really enjoyed it. All right, brother. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, guys.
As always, message us anytime. Follow us on Joe Rogan Experience Review Instagram. You can message us there. And otherwise, we'll talk next week.
Hell yeah.